In the travel news, five things not to do on an airplane, and an update from the Mile High Club.
Our cruise critic returns to update us on how people are feeling about cruising since that ship fell on its side in Greece.
Sacramento has its own version of Glee about to debut on a local stage. We have details.
And will your frequent flyer miles fall victim to the IRS? We're going to have an expert on hand to tell you.
All that and more today with the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks. I want the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Yes, a very big entertainment day here in the world. Mark, have you ever been to the Oscars?
To the Oscars?
Yeah,
no, I have. I thought you were going to say the NBA All-Star Game.
No,
I was all ready for you to say the NBA All-Star Game, and you said the Oscars.
You're right.
No,
well,
I have not been to either.
Well, Kitty O'Neill, I don't think, has missed one for 20-some years. She'll
be
there.
Oh, that's Kitty's big party. Yeah,
yeah. Do you know she makes her own dress?
Wow.
Every year.
Wow.
Pretty exciting.
Good
by
thing
the way,
I don't make my own clothes to go anywhere. It wouldn't be pretty.
I do have an announcement to make.
You do?
Sports. We missed this in the headlines. Sports Leisure Vacation will not be donating $5 million towards the construction of a new arena in the Sacramento area.
Yeah. Poor Rob McAllister. He's there. Updating the non-updates.
There you go. More to come.
You have the non-updates until you have the actual updates, and then it's really big news. And until then, you sit and wait for the updates.
Got a fun show, some giveaways today, lots of things going on in the travel news. Let's fire up the travel news band and bring on Mark Hoffman with the latest on what the world's going on.
Do you know, this isn't really travel news, but did you know what? I just heard that Erin is getting married this week.
She is. A day before my daughter, she's upstaging.
What a weekend that is going to be.
Congratulations to Erin. There's some lucky guy.
We are going to be, yes, for sure. Wait till we get a chance to talk to him. All right, the end is near for Continental Airlines. Continental is going the way of Pan Am, PSA, and TWA. Jeff Smizek, CEO of the new United Continental Holdings, told the Houston Chronicle that Continental will officially operate as United starting the first week of March. Said Smizek, we're going to have one frequent flyer program, we're going to have one website, and we'll actually be one airline from our customers' perspective, which is really valuable to the customers and will give them much better service. It will probably also make, he inserts, the airline employees very happy, because this has been one royal mess for the last year for all of the United and Continental staff working with two different systems. According to a timeline from the United website, the official digital changeover will happen on March 3rd, which is next Saturday. If you are flying next Saturday, God bless you on United and good luck to you.
Well, thanks a lot. Is that the best you can do?
I'm flying home on Sunday. I'm hoping that they will, from New York, that they will have everything worked out from
We'll be waiting for your report on
that. The planes are being repainted, and the Continental ticket counters are in the process of being rebranded and erasing virtually every trace of the former legacy airline that had been in business since the 1930s.
Wow.
Say goodbye to Continental. All right.
They're nothing sacred.
Sex, and speaking of sacred things, Sex in the Sky, cheap thrills for a cheap price on Flamingo Air.
Well, cheap price.
If you think all airlines are cutting amenities these days, you've clearly never flown Flamingo Air. This carrier throws in champagne, chocolates, and one very discreet pilot. For just $425, you will get a round-trip ticket to the Mile High Club for you and a partner. A bargain unless you're flying solo, the press release says.
Yes.
The Cincinnati-based charter company, billed as one of the nation's most outrageous airlines, has actually been in the business of helping couples get down to business for nearly 21 years.
And how come I've never heard of this before?
And like many daring ideas, this one started with an actual dare, pilots wagering with one another about who could get a couple to pay to join the Mile High Club. And thus a business, and at least one baby that we know of, was born.
Wow, I'm going to use this on my Classic 93.1 radio show as a bit next week.
This gets even better. One of the pilots says, I've had a high heel in my ear once, been shot in the back of the head with a champagne cork, and thank God we wear headsets. was co-president and pilot Dave McDonald, who recently shared some of his in-flight experiences with a local television station. What goes on behind the curtain is of no concern of ours.
Mark, you call this travel news.
I just hope
we're
they steam clean those love seats between flights. Of course, if for an even cheaper travel-related thrill, just book a flight on any old airline and get randomly selected by the TSA for a pat-down free of charge. Here's a couple of comments from Flamingo Air's website. My husband and I paid to go skydiving. It lasted 25 minutes, and we were strapped to each other. The cost? $500 with the video. So, yeah, I'd pay $425 to get in the air and be strapped to my own husband. Life is an adventure. And then another person asked, do they have a senior discount?
There you go. Sure. And what kind of a dispenser is that in the restroom?
By the way, Tom, by the way, people at the Mile High Club, for those of you who do not know, relates to folks who have had intimate relations at least a mile up in the air.
There you go. So
doing it in Denver doesn't count.
It'd be about the 20,000-mile club, wouldn't it?
Denver. Speaking of Denver, United bowed to some public protests.
Oh, I get it. I was a little slow on that. Yeah. Denver, Mile High. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Denver, United Airlines announced last week that they were going to change their pet travel rules, particularly as it related to overseas, particularly as it related to some service people whose families would want to bring their pets home as they came back from Afghanistan and Iraq and places far and wide like that. And United Airlines got so much flack over the changes that they were going to make in the policy on social media that they rolled back the changes this week. So they're going to make an exception, and members of the military who are being relocated to the United States can bring their pets as passengers as opposed to as cargo on a one-time basis. Thank you, United, proving you can fight City Hall.
There you go.
I guess if I turn my mic on, you know, I'm patiently waiting for the real tease at the top of the news, the five things not to do on an airplane, which didn't include the thing we heard about earlier.
Because that's not one of the five things
okay.
that you don't do. Every time you get on an airline, you know, there are certain things that you just are not supposed to do. So here are – I'm the man of lists. So here are, quickly, five things not to do when you get on an airline.
And so you'll know, Mark made these up himself.
Yeah, right. No bare feet. No bare feet. I mean, a lot of people think, you know, you can just go ahead and kick off your shoes on an airline. But first of all, some people's feet don't smell all that well. And this applies also – this applies in all classes of service, whether you be in coach or in business class or you're in the bulkhead seat and you can't resist the temptation to put your feet up on the furniture like you – I'm sure you do at home.
Yes.
On the airline. Don't abuse the recline. You know, if they're serving – God forbid they should be serving a meal on a flight. But if you know that the person behind you is using their laptop or something like that, maybe you could just recline the seat, you know, 1 inch instead of two.
And gradually.
Exactly.
Slamming it back.
So that the screen does not end up in little tiny pieces in the person behind you's lap. Exactly.
Don't, number three.
Don't be an overhead bin hog. Don't take your sport coat and lay it out in the bottom of an overhead bin or your regular jacket for that matter.
What about your wedding dress? My daughter's going to do that, you know. I'm lining out number three for her back in
number four, no talking loudly to strangers. That you're not supposed to talk – you're not supposed to – if you're going to have a conversation with a stranger, you do it in a polite, mild-mannered way instead of busting out all over
your – Hey, can I borrow that book?
Exactly. And finally, don't make dumb jokes. Things like, I've got a bomb or something like that are just not things that are considered to be funny by most people on airplanes. Five things not to do on airplanes. We're going to go away. When we come back, we are going to have Carolyn Spencer-Brown, who is from cruisecritic.com, and she has all the answers to all the questions that you might have about going on cruises nowadays, that there's one of them big cruise ships laying on its side in the Mediterranean. And after the bottom of the hour, we're going to give folks a chance, Tom, to win two tickets to the Cosmopolitan Cabaret to see Forbidden Broadway.
Fun. It's all right here on the Travel Guys, FM News Talk 92.5 at AM 1530 KFBK.
Love.
exciting and new.
Welcome, everyone. It's another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Here to make you a smarter cruiser, I think, today.
Absolutely. And we're not talking about cars. We're talking about ships.
There you go.
And, of course, cruises have been in the news, Mr. Romano, over the last month or so, ever since that incident there off the coast of Greece with a ship that ended up on its side. And as some folks noted, ironically, this is the 100th year of the anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. So folks, all the Titanic displays all over the country are all ramping up and stuff like that to be able to attract
people. You know what? There's one other really bizarre coincidence.
What's that?
That didn't get reported so much, and that is that it occurred on Friday the 13th.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So
wow.
This is just an eerie sort of coincidence theories all around.
Well, the voice that you're hearing that's not in the studio, that is on the phone, is Carolyn. Carolyn, welcome to the program. Carolyn is our cruise critic, if you will.
Yes. Hi. Sorry, guys. I should have waited for an introduction.
No, that was actually perfect.
I kind of like doing it that way.
If you wait for an introduction from us, you'll be here all day. Carolyn is with CruiseCritic.com. Carolyn has been a guest with us before, and we will – anything that Carolyn has to say or talk about or anything like that, or anything you want to know about cruising, we will link her website to TravelGuysRadio.com, so when this interview is over and you're out of your car and you're home, why, you can look it up and see all of the interesting stuff that they have on their website, because if you are about to take a cruise, there's information there that would do you a lot of good. All right, enough for that. Carolyn – a ship ended up on its side, and there's been a lot of commotion. And basically the questions that folks have been asking here over the last few weeks is, are these ships safe? And as stories come out that point out that, you know, these ships are not flagged in the United States. And so who controls this? And tell us about it.
Okay, well, the flagging issue is a separate issue, and it doesn't have anything to do with whether the ship is safe or not. No matter where your ship is flagged or where a ship is flagged, it has to conform to standards set by an international safety council, and it's called the SOLAS, Safety of Life at Sea, and there are all sorts of requirements that cruise lines have to abide by from any country in the world. And so the flag issue is really sort of a dead end on this one.
So if they're in the if they're in U.S. waters, there is an international safety commission that sets standards for cruise ships.
Yes, all over the world, and everyone has to abide by the same standards.
Well, good. That's
basic
that's
standards. And cruise lines can actually ramp up and do more than the standards, but they all have basic standards. So that doesn't impact the flagging. Does not impact the safety.
Good information to know.
That's an important piece of information. Let's talk about the cruise. There was some discussion on the cost of cruise that there was a little bit of a language barrier between some of the crew members and some of the people, and we know that that's an issue on some cruise ships. Address that.
I want to go back to your first question and just address the bigger picture issue. You know, is cruising safe? And I wrote a piece for Cruise Critic right after it happened, and I confessed in the piece to being just really shocked and stunned that so much could have gone wrong on a contemporary cruise ship with all of the latest safety and security bells and whistles. And I think for a long time we're going to be learning. You know, every day there's some kind of news that's dribbling out. Most of it not terribly complimentary. And we're going to finally, at some point, we're going to know what really happened there. But it shouldn't have happened. And we called it a perfect storm of just ridiculousness and tragic ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Because so many of the things that went wrong were just bad, poor.
So there were a lot of bad decisions made that day, and we're seeing some changes, of course, in cruise safety. Now folks are going to get their emergency drill before they leave port, and a whole series of other changes have also been made, Carolyn.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the first things that came out of it, and again, and that is that one of the kind of challenging things about this tragic accident was that SOLAS requires cruise lines to hold the safety drill within 24 hours of departure. Most cruise lines do it before the ship ever unties at the dock and leaves. But in this case, because of various circumstances, Costa planned to do its drill for a couple hundred people who had boarded in Rome the next day. And so, of course, never expecting to have this kind of situation, but there were people on board who had not had the safety drill. And that certainly can't have helped them, try to get to a lifeboat. You know, so what we saw immediately afterwards is a lot of cruise lines proactively came out and said, okay, whatever our policy has been, we're changing it. We're going to do the safety drill in port before we leave. But I will say most cruise lines did that anyway. But that's one change that we're seeing. Another change we're seeing, I think, is quite interesting, is that people are paying more attention to safety drills. I was on Crystal Serenity a couple weeks ago, and two people actually asked a question in a safety drill, and I've never seen that before in my entire career, 14 years worth. So
asked
I think
a
people
question.
Definitely, and that's a positive outcome, because as I said in my editorial about Is Cruising Safe, it is incumbent on passengers to also be responsible for their safety.
Sure. Now, Carolyn, oftentimes whenever there is a bump in the road, whether it be a cruise ship or an airliner or whatever, safety, things actually get safer to travel on those particular mediums, and oftentimes bargains will also crop up as a result to get people back into the swing of things of cruising or flying or whatever. Have you seen any of that here since this incident with the cruise ship?
We talked about Titanic before we got on the interview and the fact that it's the 100th anniversary, and I think one of the interesting things that came out of the tragedy that was Titanic, and indeed it was the biggest maritime tragedy anybody had seen up until that point, was that new safety rules were put in place. And if you've seen the movie, you will remember Kate Winslet walking around the deck learning from the ship's designer, the ship's architect, that there weren't actually enough seats in lifeboats for all the passengers on board. Well, these days, there are not only enough seats on lifeboats, there are more seats than they need, and that's a direct result from the Titanic disaster. So I think we'll see some other new procedures rolling out. I think cruise lines are not waiting for SOLAS to come up with new guidelines, but SOLAS will come up with new guidelines. It'll take a year or two.
Tom asked about potentially this creating some fire sales or bargains from being in the business. Carolyn, I know that January, February is the big time of the year when cruise lines do the greatest percentage of their business. The most cruises are sold at that time of the year. Did this accident impact that sales period from your point of view? And did it create any sort of fire sale type situation? Did the cruises make any effort to discount prices in order to keep people coming?
This is at this point, this is the most hotly debated topic coming out of this tragedy. And what we're seeing is that people who have cruised before and understand what cruising is all about aren't necessarily more leery about cruising. They're cruising again. They're buying cruises. They're shopping around. The people who I think are a little bit more leery than they might have been are people who've never cruised before. And so they associate that ship with something they don't realize maybe as much as an experienced cruise traveler would. What happened was just completely, ridiculously, outlandishly bizarre. And so I think it's definitely impacting the what we call the virgin cruise market. Price-wise, we're seeing some sales, but we're not. We heard from an analyst in New York that Costa itself is down 30% this year, which is not a good sign, of course, in the busiest time of year. But we haven't seen fire sales yet. We're keeping an eye on them. We're keeping an eye on the issue. Even internally, we don't agree. All of the different editors don't agree whether the pricing has been impacted. So we're having some great debates about that.
Carolyn, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your patience, and more importantly, I appreciate your time and your willingness to be on with us.
Well, thanks, as always. I love talking to you guys.
We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, as always, here to make you a smarter traveler.
Or a smarter cruiser, in this case.
Yeah, you got that right on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk.
Glenn Campbell, one of the Wrecking Crew, played behind dozens and dozens of hit records in the 60s and 70s. A lot of people don't even know it.
Wow.
Besides having the illustrious career that he had on his own. Mark, I understand you did a little blog about Glenn.
Well,
and
I
your
did.
Visit.
You know, I mentioned on the show last week that I went down to Phoenix and I saw Glenn Campbell last week, and I made a little
blog about it and sent it out to some folks and talked about how I felt that he might be kind of the tipping point in the whole Alzheimer's thing. And so anyway, if you're interested, you can go to travelguysradio.com. There's all kinds of great stuff there about the show, and you can also take a look at that if you would like. Let's see. What else do we have here?
Well, we have the question. Yeah. I haven't asked it today. We always do it on the show. Mark, where have you been, and where are you in Sports Leisure Vacations going?
Well, we're headed to New York City next week because our travel show, it's the New York Times travel show. So next weekend, we will have all the interviews that we compile on Friday and Saturday. We will send them back to you electronically and race back here on an airplane Sunday morning and be on the air on Sunday if it all goes well. If not, you'll be here Sunday by yourself.
I've seen the lineup. Yes, I hope that's not the case. I've seen the lineup of who Mark's going to be hanging with at the show, and I'll tell you, the interviews are going to be spectacular if it all works out. This is definitely a show not to miss.
Not to miss next week. Couple weeks, I'm headed down to spring training with some good Sports Leisure travelers. Got about 28 or 30 folks we're taking down to see some Giants and A's baseball games. And then at the end of May, first week of June, I'm going to Cape Cod. And I would love to invite listeners to come. To come along. We're going to take 20 people on a week-long trip, spend a couple of nights.
Room left on this one?
There is. I've got 10 people with me so far, so I've got 9 more seats left, counting myself.
And where are we going?
We're going to Boston overnight to take the ferry boat, the fast ferry, the catamaran, out to Provincetown, spend a couple of nights on the Cape, down to Hyannis, the Kennedy area there where the Kennedy compound is, and there's a John Kennedy Museum there. We're going to go out to Martha's Vineyard, do a little touring, go over to Nantucket, spend a couple of nights, and then the best thing is we're going to fly home right from Nantucket, right to John F. Kennedy, and JetBlue right on home. So it's first part of June. If you'd like to go, you can go to sportsleisure.com. We'll take you there. I probably should announce the names of our lucky Sports Leisure Travel Club listeners for this week. They are Margaret Mutzig, M-U-T-Z-I-G, Margaret Mutzig, and Michael Arthur. Those are our lucky Travel Club winners for today. And the lucky staff winner today is the person whose passcode is Celery. And those are your lucky Travel Club winners for today. And then let's see. Oh, we were going to mention, we had a gentleman who won 2 tickets to see Marvin Hamlisch at the Gallo Center a couple weeks ago here on the air. And Marvin, the Marvin Hamlisch concert has been canceled. So we wanted to do a shout-out. If the gentleman who won the Marvin Hamlisch tickets is listening today, please give us a call at 921-1530, and we will arrange to get you in touch with the Gallo people and get you some new tickets, since the concert that you are going to is not going to be there. Speaking of concert venues, we have some tickets to give away. After we find out about the Glee thing here, we're going to give away some tickets. If you want to get online, we've got 4 sets of tickets to see Forbidden Broadway at the Cosmopolitan Cabaret, a fun comedy show that's getting great reviews.
And all you have to do is tell us your favorite spot in Northern California for entertainment, the entertainment venue or event that you enjoy the most.
The venue you like to go most to see an entertainer. It could be a casino showroom. It could be an outdoor amphitheater. It could be a theater of some kind. Big theater, small theater. What do you think the best venue in Northern California is? 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530. We'll take some calls in about 5 minutes, and we'll see. We've got 4 pairs of tickets to the Cosmopolitan Cabaret. 921-1530, 1-800-834-1530.
It's the Travel and Entertainment Guys, as always, on a Sunday afternoon here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Mark Hoffman across the way. I'm Tom Romano, and again, we're shifting gears into we're putting on our entertainment
hats. Entertainment hats, absolutely, for the last segment of the show. And with us today is Terry Selk. Terry is the Director of Tourism from the Sacramento Convention and Visitors Bureau. That all says is a lot of title, but what it really means is that Terry is responsible for putting, he would probably say heads in beds, I would say butts in beds. Either way, people in beds in Sacramento, which means that creates bed tax, which helps support not only the entire infrastructure of the county, but also our tourism infrastructure.
Welcome.
Welcome, Terry, to the show.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here.
Terry, you have a special event that you created last year that is a spinoff of a popular television program. And this year, it was so popular in its initial phase last year that this year it has expanded enormously and is perhaps on the cusp of being really a world-class event. Tell us about this competition for kids that you have created.
Thanks, Mark. The California Capital Vocal Jazz and Show Choir competition is in year 2, And we launched it last year, inspired by the television show Glee. And being a Gleek myself, I realized that there really had not been any mention of a sectional or a regional event, which is often referred to in the show. And I did some research, and I found out that there really wasn't anything in Northern California for middle school and high school musical groups to perform. So we did some more research and found several schools in California that have registered show choir and vocal jazz groups. And we thought to ourselves, let's create an event that will put Sacramento further on the map in the arts and culture world, help give these kids another place to perform in a cost-effective method for their schools.
So you created an event last year.
We created an event
last
year.
And how many schools participated last year?
We had 5 schools from Northern California, including the Bay Area, the Grass Valley, Sacramento area, and the Bay Area. And
so this year, for the second year, you are planning, you have how many?
We have 9 schools and 15 groups divided into vocal jazz and show choir competitions.
Wow.
And that is basically a 300% growth over the first year. So we know we're on to something.
Oh, yeah. And the possibilities for something like this is limited only by the number of schools that there are in the region, state, country, planet.
Right. And Terry, now we reach a pretty broad area with the radio station's multiple signals. Is there still room for high schools and you say high school and junior high, right?
Correct.
Is there still room for schools to sign up and still compete?
Unfortunately, no. We are sold out for this year. But
okay.
Our plans, as Mark mentioned, is to grow this event year after year and in some respects hopefully get to the success of some other more musical-oriented events like the Folsom Jazz Festival and get to 100 groups.
Wow.
It might take a few years, but that's certainly
that'd be a multiple.
So this year you're selling, you want folks from the public to have an opportunity to come and see this event.
Correct.
And it's being held at the Woodlake Hotel. We should tell folks it's the 16th and 17th of March. And before you try to write all this down, we will put a link to the website with all the information on travelguysradio.com so you can go there at any point in time and find out the information. Terry, tell us, what do tickets cost? Is it an all-day competition? How does it work?
Sure. The event, the competition is 2 days with show choirs being on the Friday. And we'll start performances at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they'll continue until 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Friday, March 16th.
Correct. And then on Saturday will be the vocal jazz section, and they will start at 9 o'clock in the morning and go to approximately 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And tickets are available to the public. Single-day ticket is $5, and a two-day ticket is $8. And we also still have some opportunities for any companies or corporations out there who are looking to reach this market. We'd welcome them to put an advertisement in our program or to be a sponsor. Definitely family entertainment, especially with the broad range of age groups that watch the television show Glee.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly appropriate for all ages, and we welcome families, other students to come out, parents.
So you will promise us that after the competition, you will call us and let us know who won and how it all went and stuff like that. Maybe we can even get some kind of a soundbite or something like that from the competition. And as this grows, why, we would be happy to help you publicize it.
That would be fantastic. We appreciate your support.
Maybe we could get the winners to pop in and do a tune for us.
Yeah, or get
guys.
Maybe we get, line up the winners to come on the air for and tell us a little bit about the competition or something. Great idea, Tom. Terry Selk from the Sacramento Convention and Visitors Bureau, the Tourism Director of Tourism, thank you very much for joining us on the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
Thank you very much.
All right, Thomas, we have got some tickets to give away to Forbidden Broadway at the Cosmopolitan Cabaret. Kim from Roseville is on the line to tell us what her favorite concert venue is in Northern California. Hi, Kim.
Hi there.
What's your favorite place to watch a concert?
Actually, Thunder Valley, outside under the stars.
Thunder Valley, an outdoor amphitheater type place. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, just and close to home, and parking's convenient, and outside under the stars.
Who did you see there?
Recently, last summer. now you threw me for a loop. I can't think of who we just saw last summer, but I know we're going to go see Earth, Wind, and Fire there this summer.
Kim, if you hold on the line, we've got 2 tickets for you to the Cosmopolitan Cabaret, and we've got some more tickets. If you all would like to go down and see this wonderful show downtown, call us at 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530, and we will line up some tickets. And Tom, who do we have after the break here?
Hey, if you got some frequent flyer tickets and you think you might get taxed on it, you're going to want to listen up. Steve Moskowitz, our tax attorney, coming up with a little bit more on that right here on The Travel Guys, coming up.
We are the Travel Guys, and let's go to the phones.
Hey, we got some tickets to give away. Fred, what's your favorite concert venue in Northern California, buddy?
Mondavi Center, but actually I like Three Stages up at Folsom Lake College an awful lot. It's like Mondavi Center Light.
Brand new facility. Good, two good choices, Mondavi and Philip. What's your favorite concert venue in Northern California?
My favorite concert venue, I like the Old Cal Palace.
All right.
That's going way back.
That's Tom. Do you remember? Yes.
Okay. I do.
All right. Let's get one more winner here. We've got Wendy. What's your favorite concert venue in Northern California?
Ooh, I'm going to say the community center.
The community center. Okay. Yeah. What have you seen there like recently?
It's been a couple of years since I've seen something there, but actually more so. Ooh, plays.
All right. Well, if you hold on the line, we have got two tickets for you to go to the Cosmopolitan Cabaret and see Forbidden Broadway along with Fred and Philip, our other winners, and we are the Travel Guys.
This is the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. And Mark, a couple of weeks ago, we had Ed Perkins on the air, and we were talking about something that was of great interest to our listeners because it had to do with perhaps having to pay more taxes than you need to.
Exactly. The Citibank sent out a 1099 form to a group of folks who received a bonus for enrolling in a specific credit card last year. They received 50,000 bonus miles, and those were not miles that were earned. Those were miles that were given to someone as a bonus. And so now these folks have a 1099 form. It may result in additional taxes for them, and so that's where we are.
And at that time, I mentioned, well, I'm going to have to get a hold of my buddy, Steve Moskowitz, the tax attorney, to get us some great legal advice and see if we can sort this all out. So with that being said, Stephen, welcome to the Travel Guys radio program, sir.
Tom, thanks so very much, and it's great to be doing a show with you again. We were reminiscing about all the shows we've done in the past. And what's going on here is a new slant on a very old IRS position. The IRS has always taken the position that if you receive a prize that's different than a gift, if you receive a prize, it's taxable. A gift is not taxable, and that a gift in any amount is not taxable. So you say, well, what's the difference between a prize and a gift? In legal theory, a prize is something that you've exchanged something for. You entered the contest. You did something that you didn't have to, and you were given something by someone that didn't have to give it to you. A gift is disinterested generosity, where someone gives you something and you didn't do anything to earn it. You didn't do anything. You didn't request it.
So if I go in and I get a credit card, I sign up for a credit card and I get a 50,000 point bonus as a result of signing for that credit card. And your opinion is that?
Well, now here we're getting near the line. So let's look at both. If you enter a contest and you win a car, that's clearly taxable. If you take your credit card and you buy that car, and you get miles because you bought that car, that is not taxable. The IRS says, well, in the first case, you received something for your efforts. In the second case, you received a rebate. You paid for that car, and that's just a discount or a rebate.
But for a credit card that you're signing up for, you didn't pay anything.
Here is where the legal theory is going to be argued. Was it a gift? For example, if you said, look, I'm signing up for your credit card. I want your credit card. And the bank says, okay, they're giving you something. Is it a gift? And I think a good argument could be made that it's a gift because you didn't sign up for the credit card because it can give you some miles. You signed up for the credit card because you wanted the credit card, and then they gave you something.
Ah, but that's where perhaps the rub comes, is the reality is that in many cases people do sign up for the credit card in order to get that bonus. That is the incentive, I think, is the word that might be used that allows them. And then the other thing, Steve, is whether or not the concern from frequent flyers, I think, is not necessarily whether or not this particular situation is going to be taxable or not, but is this going to lead the IRS down a path that eventually is going to lead to taxing frequent
flyer awards and things of that sort?
Under the present position, no. And the reason for that, the IRS has already spoken about that, and they said when you have the frequent flyer miles, you bought them, you paid for something. It's a rebate.
So why would Citibank send out – no other card issuer did this. Citibank sent out 1099 specifically to people who received these bonus points from one type of credit card.
For opening savings or checking accounts as well. And then now what do these people do with these 1099s, Steve?
Well, the answer to the first question, the bean counters made an interpretation of the law that I disagree with. But again, you know, the courts are full of disputes when reasonable people can differ. Look at the Supreme Court splitting 5-4. They really do differ in their interpretations of law. Now, if you believe, and again, this interview is for educational purposes. I'm not giving any advice to any of the listeners. We're just discussing theories. It's educational. And don't try this at home. if you want the advice of a tax lawyer, call one up and have an attorney-client relationship. This is just educational purposes. I believe that possibly, if the facts and circumstances warrant it, the person may be able to argue that it was a gift and therefore not taxable. In the alternative, there's going to be, even if the item were taxable, there would be a huge dispute as to what's the fair market value of the item. Because Citibank says, well, it's 2.5 cents. And what you'd need to do, if you look at frequent flyer miles, you'll see that there's all kinds of valuations depending on what you get. So I think a real...
And that's part of the issue here, too, is that Citi has valued them at 2.5 cents, and that those of us who use miles know that really the redemption value is around a penny, maybe a penny and a half a mile if you're lucky. So there's some shenanigans going on here because these are not being properly valued. But I guess if you – and again, this is all hypothetical here. But if you had received one of these 1099s, would you declare it on your taxes, or would you – or would you go to a tax attorney? I mean, is it that big?
I'd go to a tax attorney, but I guess that means I'd be going to myself.
Exactly. But, I mean, how serious is this?
Well, everything is serious. You know, when you're dealing with the government, especially now, the government has gotten really, really heavy duty with the taxes and very aggressive. The government's broke, so they're doing all kinds of things. But if I believed that it's qualified as a gift under my particular facts and circumstances, then what I would do is I would report it on the return, then I would subtract it out, and I would attach a disclosure statement. A disclosure statement is an IRS form, and you can they're readily available. You can go to the IRS website, irs.gov, and get it. And on a disclosure statement, I would say, this is my legal theory in support of the action that I've taken. That's the best legal way to do it, and then the IRS can't accuse you of, hey, what are you trying to pull here, buddy? What kind of shenanigans are this? No.
Our special guest, Steve Moskowitz, tax attorney and good friend of mine for some years. Steve, thank you for, well, here again, we got to remind people, we're not giving legal advice. We're just talking
trying to give a little update to our frequent flyers.
Yes.
I think the bottom line to this is don't worry about the miles that you earn, but it's entirely possible that miles that are given, gifted, or incentivized to you could become a point of contention sometime in the foreseeable future.
Always here to make you a smarter traveler and to save you some money and keep you out of trouble. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. More to come.
Boy, you know just about everybody, I think.
I do.
You know tax attorneys, and you've been on the radio. You've been on the radio so long. You've been on. No, never mind.
People will say, Tom, you know, what is it that you know about travel? And I go, I know Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations.
Look at what I have here. Look at this.
Look at that. That looks like a travel section from the
newspaper. That's an ancient thing that people used to use to communicate with.
And what do you have
there? This is the travel section of the Sacramento Bee. The Sacramento Bee now has a travel section again. For several years, we didn't have one.
Let me see. And what do I see? I see a Sports Leisure Vacation rundown of trips.
There it is, right there, on the right inside on page 2. But anyways, the travel section of the Bee, you should check that out. We're going to be back next week. We're going to be in New York, and then actually, I hope, back here on Sunday morning with you with some great interviews.
Counting on it.
Arthur Frommer, all kinds of women and travel, all kinds of exciting and cool stuff. So we are going to have, it's a once-a-year program. It kicks off the third year of the Travel Guys, and we'll be here next Sunday.
Thank you for joining us. What do we always say, Mark?
We are the Travel Guys, and an hour a week is all we ask.
See you next Sunday.